I do want to look at Jeremiah today and see what's going on there. And that is a very complex passage. And all of those complexities I am not going to deal with at all. There's just one thing I'm going to draw out that I think is one of the things that God does is doing with Jeremiah, and he does in our lives too. And when I was thinking about this, I was reminded of some years back when we were in Pennsylvania. I know we bring a lot of stories out of that church, but hey, I was there a long time. There's a lot of stories. But this one is this. I had a senior warden, and Pastor Carter, that's like our chief layperson on the board, the senior warden, who's right over there, the current one. But I had one then, and I had to call him up and ask for his resignation because of multiple infidelities he had towards his wife. And say, listen, I know what's going on. You have to resign. And he didn't like that, as you could imagine. And he got mad. And this is what he got mad at. He says, you know what? You called me on the phone and asked me to resign, and you should have called me into your office. Well, okay. I mean, I didn't answer that. And he resigns, and that was kind of it. And they move on. And the church moves on. And some years later, I had moved away and moved to Phoenix. I was in Phoenix doing church planting there. And he calls me up. One morning, I get a phone call from him. And he says, hey, you know what? You were right. And I shouldn't have been that way. And we've turned a new leaf, and we're strong in a church. And sometimes I get to Phoenix, and I hope we get to visit. Well, our paths never crossed again. But that was just a beautiful thing to hear that he had done that. Because what I wanted for that man who was, we were friends, we did a lot together, I wanted him to grow in discipleship and following Jesus more than anything. That's what I wanted for him. I wanted it for the whole church. I wanted it for you. That's what I want, to be a follower of Jesus all the days of your life as completely as possible, as completely as you know. And here that was coming. And this is the thing that about God, and it's the thing I see in Jeremiah. What you want, what God has written on your heart, the desire of your soul that has come from the Spirit of God, and you want it more than anything, God wants it more than you do. And God will work it. He will bring it around. He will do it because he wants it more than you want it, even if it's the thing that you want more than anything in the world. He wrote that on your heart. And he wants to see it happen. Earlier in Jeremiah, the word comes, I am watching over my word to perform it. And that's what he does. That's what he does. And sometimes the word is written on your heart and the desire is there. And there you go. Now, there are times, of course, you don't see that right away. You might not be ready for it. That's why you go into trials, challenges, wilderness. The purpose of every wilderness is to expand the capacity of your soul so that what God is writing on your heart, you will then be able to hold. But when it first comes, the capacity may not be enough to hold that promise. I'll give you another story from Pennsylvania. I had a part-time staff then, and there was one woman came to me. I was just reminded of this morning because as I was reading the scriptures and praying upon getting up, the story of Dorcas, you know, Tabitha in the book of Acts was there where she had died. And a wonderful, wonderful young woman who'd done served the poor and done all kinds of things. And she died. And so they called Peter, and Peter comes over, and Peter did exactly what Jesus did. Put everybody out of the room, prayed, commanded her to rise, and she rose. And I said, you know, we do what Jesus did. This is a sermon that morning, back some years ago. We do what Jesus did. And some of you here may actually raise the dead. In fact, some of you here might actually raise the dead. And my staff member came up to me and said, "How dare you? How dare you? We are worn out. My week is just, it is terrible. I am so tired, and I don't need to hear another challenge when I come to church." Okay. Sometimes God will write something on your heart you don't want yet. And when it gets there, that's the thing you want the most. And then he's in the business of expanding the capacity of your soul so that you can hold it and walk in it. It may take a while. But that's what we see in Jeremiah today. See, it's the translation of the Hebrew into whatever, and you kind of lose the drama of it all. But this is what's going on. Israel is at a place where Babylon, which is a huge kingdom, a huge empire, is about to come and carry everybody in Israel off. They're just going to take them off to Babylon, and they're going to be in exile for 20 years. And they see the Babylonian army starting to come around Jerusalem. And, you know, they haven't been carried off yet, but the siege is beginning. And so the king asks for all the prophets, "What do you think the Lord is saying?" So all the prophets say, "We're good. Stay put. It's going to be fine." Except for Jeremiah, who says, "No, you're not going to be fine. You're going to be carried off, and you're going to be in exile." So what happens to Jeremiah? We see here they put him under arrest, and they put him in the courtyard. At this point, the courtyard of the guard. You know, it was kind of an outer place. He was in worse places. They threw him down a cistern later and all kinds of things. But Jeremiah still was faithful to God. And there he is in the courtyard of the guard, and everybody can see him. It's a public spot. Everybody can see what's going on. And the word of the Lord comes to him saying, your cousin Hanamel is going to come. He's going to tell you that you can buy this field, and I want you to go ahead and do that. Now, I don't know. At this point in the story, you're thinking of real estate, buy a field, whatever. What's for lunch? You know, when you're reading that, you can miss it. But this is what's going on. The Babylonian army is around Jerusalem. Jeremiah is the only one who knows that Israel is going to be carried off. And so Jeremiah is the only one who is prompted by God to buy real estate in Israel when the country is going to be decimated, nobody's going to live there, and the real estate value is going to be absolutely zero or less. And Jeremiah is a man of means. His cousin shows up, and with the deed, and he follows the Lord's direction, signs the deeds, has the legal witnesses sign the deeds. Everybody around can see it because it's out in the public, and everybody is thinking, okay. And Jeremiah has the money to do it. He just buys it outright, even though he knows that the real estate market, it is going into the tank real quick. Why does he do that? For this reason. Very last sentence of the reading from Jeremiah you see in the bulletin. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these deeds, both the sealed deed of purchase and this open deed, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may last for a long time." What that means is all of you, are going to be gone for a long time. And when you come back, this deed is going to be here. "For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be bought again in this land." The thing that Jeremiah wanted for Israel, that everybody wanted for Israel, that people would live there, families would prosper there, businesses would prosper there. Then you do that by real estate and putting a business on the land that you owned and relating to people that way, that would thrive and prosper. What everybody wanted for Israel, God wanted more. And he said, And God is saying, even though you're going to be carried off for 20 or more years and no one's going to live here, it's still going to happen. It's still going to happen. Because I want it more than you do. Now, I think there's things going on in our lives which may be as complex as this incarceration and real estate exchange with Jeremiah that's really hard to explain. But underneath that, there's things going on in our lives that are touching on your heart's desire. And that heart desire was written on your heart by the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God wants it for you more than you want it for you. And I would think that at this point right now, there are things coming up in your heart and in your mind that you want more than anything. That if you had that, you would think that. That's the center of my life. That's why I was born. That's the thing that puts it all together right now at this point. Or whatever it is for you, there's something that God put there. Maybe it's healing. Maybe it's a restored relationship. Maybe it's a sense of purpose that was lost a long time ago, but you still are thirsty for it. Maybe there's another person in your life that you just pray for every day. You want to see them following Jesus. You want to see them come from where they are into the center of the family of God. In fact, that's how God is arranging this church, St. Francis. You remember a couple of weeks ago we looked at Mannequin Sabbath, God's gift of what Mannequin Sabbath is, a place of alliances, life-giving alliances in this community. And then after that, we looked at St. Francis, a place of joyful welcome, where people are joyfully welcomed into the family of God and start growing in that. And then we saw last week that you have a gift. You have something. You have your gospel, the thing that God touched in your heart that drew you into a relationship with Him. And God weaves all of that together for us right now here so that we come under that this vision of, see, we see this entire community in the family of God. And that God is forming us to invite anyone and everyone into the family of God. You're not a fan of Jesus, not only a friend of Jesus, not only a follower of Jesus, but in the family of Jesus. So we look just like Him. And with that, we start valuing certain things. And as we run after those things that we value, things get written on our hearts. And what we value a lot, engaging with God right now in worship is something we highly value. Engaging with each other in fellowship, seeing the presence of Jesus in each other. Engaging with the world, where God is already at work in the world, and just running after the Spirit of God to join in with whatever's going on by the power of that Spirit. Those are the things we value. And as we follow after those, God starts writing things on our hearts. And those are the things that God wants more than you do, even though you want them more than anything else. See, I think that's why you're here now. I think that's why you live here. I think that's why you're in this church. I think that's why the other churches that you have been part of or even relate to at the moment, at this moment in your life, are all working in such a manner that the thing you delight in and desire the most connects you to the heart of God and to the desire that He has, which is greater than your desire for that very thing. So here's what I want to ask you to do. You have the cards and something to write with. I want you to write the thing that you really want on this card. What's the desire of your heart? Write it on there. It can be one word. It can be a code word if you need to do that. But you're writing it before God. Now, we're not going to collect these. You don't have to put your name on it. We're not going to check them for spelling or anything like that, because mine would be rejected right away. And you can even do this. You can fold it. See, I like mine. You can't see mine now. It's the desire of my heart. And we're going to sing Only You one more time. And while that's going on, what I want you to do is to come forward and put the desire of your heart into the hand of God, symbolized by this basket at the altar, while we're singing Only You. And do that as a sign that you've heard the prophet, and maybe you don't understand it, as Jeremiah could be hard to understand, and so could Paul. But you completely trust the God of the prophet. And you trust that He wants the desire of your heart more than you do. And you're giving Him that. That is a symbol of your trust in God today. And see if something doesn't happen in your soul in the days to come, where it's a little more wide open and things get maybe even a little more challenging, but your capacity to receive what God desires for you to receive increases. And the desire of your heart comes a little closer. Okay, I'm going up with the band. Joey and Richard, our two wardens, would you mind just kind of standing nearby here? And as people come up, just quietly, silently, pray that God will do what He desires to do in their lives. And just, you know, if things fall off or whatever, help them get them back into the basket.